I have a friend, Thomas, who works as a freelance artist creating booths and installations for event shows. He's quite talented at designing interactive presentations for companies to showcase their products. The last time we got together, he told me that he had signed on to be part of something big, and he wasn't allowed to talk to it due to an NDA. Then, this past week, he included me as blind carbon copy in the following email. As soon as I finished reading this, I gave Thomas a ring, but the call went straight to voicemail. I drove over to see him, but when I buzzed at his apartment, there was no answer. His truck is in the parking lot, so at this point I can't tell if he's just not answering, or if he's not there. I know I don't have to wait to file a missing persons report, but I'm going to give him a day to call me back. Then I'm taking this to the police. To Charles Fetterman, subject, Beyond Vant of Black Project. Mr. Fetterman, my name is Thomas Laurent. I am one of the artists recruited by Mr. Gustav for the Beyond Vant of Black, or the BVB project, for your company. Now, I'll beat around the bush here, sir. Sir, I'm scared out of my wits. When I was first approached and offered the chance to work with the next step in Vant of Black, it was like winning the lottery. Vant of Black's nearly 100% absorption is a fantastic achievement. I assumed that the only possible next step was perfect 100% light absorption, but when I was shown how BVB not only absorbed all light, but even some of the scattered light of the surrounding area, I was astounded. The way it strips away the defined edges of an object, like it's enveloping the thing in a black fog, is breathtaking. I'm telling you this because I assume you've never actually seen BVB used before. If you had, you would not have approved the production of it. The color is unnatural, sir. It doesn't belong in this world. We look up at the night sky, we think we see the pure absence of light, but we aren't. Light reflects off the atmosphere. Light from the Earth and Moon and other stars, it protects us from the true emptiness of the void. BVB is the void, Mr. Fetterman. It extends beyond the boundaries we give it and sucks away the light from everything around it. I'm writing you today because something has happened. I, along with two other artists, Genevieve Lavar and Pieter Adartu, were asked to come up with three unique exhibits which show off the glory of Beyond Vant of Black, which we did. My own art installation remains down in your research department, unfinished, which shall remain as I have no intention of working further on it. Miss Laver's idea was a room, the inside of which was completely painted with BVB, save one wall, which was installed with a full-length mirror from floor to ceiling. I've been inside the room, and it is one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen. Imagine stepping into absolute nothingness, everything. Every step you're unable to determine if your foot is going to touch solid ground or not. To make matters worse, she had the floor installed at a slant, so as you try to walk forward towards the center, you're going up an incline, but can't see the angle at which it goes. There's a single white light in the center of the ceiling, for the matter of allowing whoever was inside to at least see themselves, otherwise it'd be like not existing at all, just pure blackness. Because of the unique properties of BVB, though, you can't actually see the light in the ceiling, even when staring directly at it. Once the door is sealed, the occupant is trapped inside with only the reflection. The effect is unnerving. Yesterday, after Miss Laver finished her project, she shut herself inside the room, I presume to see how it looked. I was busy in my own area, working on my project. Half an hour later, I heard yelling. Hurrying down the hall to her room, I saw a crowd of people surrounding the area, and I was quickly ushered away before I could see what was going on. After things quieted down, I managed to ask one of your engineers what had happened, and he told me that someone had gone to check on Miss Laver and found the poor woman sprawled in the center of her room, bloody and crying. She had clawed out her own eyes, Mr. Fetterman. Somehow her experience in the room drove her to take her own sight. When I asked Mr. Sorensen about it, he told me only that Genevieve had had an accident, but she was taken to the hospital and she would be okay. As I mentioned, I've been in the room myself, having gone in later that day. Security had cornered off the room, but nobody was monitoring the area, so it was difficult to get inside. The effect of the room's design was that BVB blackened interior and slanted floor is almost instantaneous. Within seconds, I felt nauseated and had to resort to crawling to reach the middle of the room. At the time, watching as my hands disappeared into black fog. As I went, my need for visual stimuli forced me to keep my eyes on the mirror across the room. In it, I started to see things that couldn't possibly exist. First, the air seemed to fill with swirling tendrils of color, followed by sparks of light, like the flashbulb of a camera floating, and ghostly, disembodied eyes watching me. Worst of all, though, was my reflection looking back at me. I don't know how. Maybe the floor was curved towards the mirror, the wall, or the lack of defined space messing with my sense of direction. All I know is I found myself crawling towards my reflection rather than the center of the room. Or worse, my reflection was crawling towards me, staring at me, watching me approach, me watching it approach. I tried to change direction, but I swear to you, it kept crawling towards me no matter how I tried to orient myself, and the more I looked into the eyes of my own reflection, the less human it appeared. Every second, it was like watching my face smear like a painting. My eyes, cheeks, nose, lips turned runny like melted wax. But the one moment I'll never forget, the image seared into my brain of the entire experience, was when I stopped in front of the mirror, staring at my reflection. It stared back at me, trying to stand up. As I raised my head, I found myself looking over the shoulder of my own reflection and seeing my face again, behind the reflection, also looking over it. In other words, the face I had come to accept as my own was not. There was someone else between me and the mirror, someone who, even as the realization came rushing at me, stared up at me with the same horrified expression on its face, its features melting. It was too much. I was ready to follow Genevieve and claw my own eyes out, and the only reason I'm here, able to tell you about it now, is that I let it go. I let myself fall backward, striking my head on the floor in the process, and I blacked out a bit. I remember rolling down the slanted floor, hitting the wall. Door must have been swung open from the force because when I came to, I could see out into the hallway, and I dragged myself out. I swear, before I got out and shut the door, I looked back and I saw my reflection, only it was standing in the center of the room, watching me leave. That room is cursed. BVB has turned it into a residence of something sinister and malevolent. That's not even half of it, Mr. Fetterman. Piotr's plan was the polar opposite of Miss LeVar's. Rather than a person in a room devoid of light, he had your team help him build a full coverage cloth bodysuit using the BVB process. Now everything upsetting about LeVar's room, one could explain away as tricks of the mind, ignoring the fact that she's currently missing. What happened to Piotr, though, I assure you, cannot be explained. His suit was finished a week before Miss LeVar completed her room. I watched him be helped into the suit for the first time. The team struggled to find where his legs went, and his arms, and once he had all four limbs clothed, they still had to find the zipper and hood to completely seal him in. Upon donning the full bodysuit of BVB, the effect was truly astounding. Piotr became a foggy black silhouette. You couldn't tell if you were looking directly at him. He had his workroom installed, and almost two dozen large floor lamps drowning out every angle with harsh lighting, and still the suit cast a shadow. Nobody else in the room had a shadow, but Piotr and his suit did. Even more amazing, when he moved, he left a trail of blackness, a sort of afterimage of where he had been. I've never seen anything like it. He put the BVB suit on for short intervals every day, increasing the length that he spent inside each time. He told me he enjoyed the way it unnerved the people around him. I asked him what it was like inside, and he remarked, "I can see inside you. I can see your bones." I'm not sure if he was joking or not. Piotr spent every workday setting up and taking photos of himself against various backdrops to see how the BVB of the suit affected the pictures. There was one I saw him standing in front of a glass box filled with water. The water looked like ink. Piotr told me that the way water refracts light seems to magnify the BVB's absorption effects. After LeVar's incident, but before I went into her room and experienced the horror of that emptiness firsthand, I rushed to Piotr's dressing room to tell him what had happened. But he'd been wearing the suit since before I got to work, longest amount of time they'd ever kept it on. He was sitting at his desk, clad completely in the BVB bodysuit. I told him of Laver, and he became understandably distraught, asking me to help him out of the suit so that we could go to the hospital. At first, I couldn't find the zipper. My hands would disappear in the foggy blackness of the suit's effects. Eventually, I found it, and I unzipped him. There was nothing inside Mr. Fedham in the suit. The suit fell away as if draped on a frame of empty air, the hood deflating like a balloon and dropping to the floor along with the rest of the materials. And stranger yet, Piotr still seemed to be inside the suit. It was pulled up on the floor in an undefinable pile, like a hole in the floor, but I could hear him from inside it, and wherever he was, he sounded terrified. I could hear him start to scream, echoing out from the suit's interior like he was falling through a great endless void, his voice never fading off like it does as somebody falls away. He was always right there screaming, calling my name, begging me to get him out. And I gathered up the material and I tried shaking it, thinking maybe I could shake him out of the hole, but I had to drop it quickly because of the way my hands disappeared inside it. I was afraid that I'd fall into the suit as well. I immediately hurried to Mr. Sorensen's office across the research area and told him about Piotr. He seemed more put off than concerned, made a quick phone call, then told me to stay put while he marched off to Piotr's room with a group of men from your security. I sat around in his office for a couple of hours before he finally returned with a gentleman named Mr. Klein, one from your legal department. They assured me that Piotr was all right, that what I had seen was simply the BVB playing tricks on my eyes. They fed me a bunch of hogwash about how my vision hadn't fully adjusted to the bright lighting of the room, and then instructed me to sign a form to waive my rights towards speaking about either of the incidents. It was after that, after they had someone escort me back to my own work area, that I ventured over to Genevieve's room and experienced its horror myself. That was yesterday, Mr. Fetterman. I called in sick this morning with no intention of going in today or any other day out of the fear of my own safety. Already my phone has rung at least 20 times this morning from different unknown callers. Mr. Sorensen has tried to reach me half an hour ago and left me in this cryptic voicemail saying, "I hope we don't have to initiate a breach of contract clause." I've looked over my contract with your company, Demtronic, but I still have no idea what he meant by that. And it sounds like a threat. There's something evil in Beyond Vanta Black, Mr. Fetterman, something Mr. Sorensen does not want people to know about. Miss Laver is missing. Mr. Edartu is missing. And I'm afraid that I'm going to go missing as well, and I hope that I'm not making a grave mistake by trusting you with this information. Please contact me via this email or the number provided below. Sincerely, Thomas Lawrence.